Life Audio.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Questions with Caden. Welcome to, I think, our 10th or 11th episode. I was just trying to figure that out right now, and I'm actually not sure. But either way, it's going to be a great episode. I'm really glad that you clicked on today, and I hope that this podcast, you have a lot of fun while you listen. You are encouraged, and you're inspired to walk closely with Jesus after this. Couple announcements before we jump into our conversation, which is going to be a fun one today, actually. We got the man, the myth, Mike Lusso, manager Mike, on the pod, on the ones and twos, behind the camera today. Say what up, Mike.
Hello, hello. How are you guys doing?
This is going to be fun. So, Mike, if you don't know Mike, which if you've listened to the podcast, you've heard me talk about Mike like a lot. Mike is one of my best friends in the world, but he also is just like amazing. He helps at Yona, and he runs all the operations stuff. And I just love having him around. So he's going to kind of help us today. We're going to be asking questions off of ChatGPT, the most asked Christian questions. And I don't know them. Mike's going to rapid fire them at me. And we're going to probably ask like 5 to 10. We might make this a two-parter if we just keep flowing. And we're going to have fun. It's going to be a cool episode because I don't know what's coming. And I'm sure a lot of these questions you guys will be asking. And how about we'll do this? If there's a question that we do ask and you really enjoy it and I don't get to go super in-depth on it because we don't have like a ton of time, DM me that you like it and we'll make a full episode out of that question later down the road. Big shout out to Life Audio. If you like podcasts like this, go check out their podcast at lifeaudio.com. They have tons of podcasts similar to this one, but none is good. Like, Caden, you're not supposed to say that. That's like, they don't want you. Also, shout out You and Me Media for having us in today. If you need any podcasting, video, photography needs, or creative needs, go to youandmemedia.co. Is that correct? That is correct. Courtney yelled from the other room. Yeah. And click on the book. Is it book? Is it book? The link? Is the link you click book to book here? Would you click studio and you can book this place. It's amazing. It's awesome. Courtney and her team are amazing to work with. Mike, how good is it?
It's awesome. Beautiful studio.
No, it's gorgeous. We love being here. I get emotional. I don't know what I'll do without them. But also, we have merch, and I've said this, and I'll say it again. This merch is being discontinued. This capsule will be gone in a couple months, and we'll be coming out with a new capsule. So if you like this stuff, don't be like, oh, it'll be there. It won't. Go get it. Go to CadenFabrizio.com. Click the shop button. Get your merch. And then you have like an exclusive piece of Questions with Caden merch. And we're going a really different direction with the next merch stuff. It's going to be very different. So if you want the OG stuff, go get it. It's affordable. I promise. I made sure it was. All right. I think, last thing, and I always forget to tell you guys this. Subscribe everywhere. Literally everywhere. Mike, like, tell them how important that is.
It is imperative that you subscribe.
It's imperative. Like, if you don't subscribe, this podcast literally just crumbles, to be honest. Like, the subscriptions are the biggest thing you can do for us. And then last announcement, we have Yona coming up. This is coming out tomorrow. So we have Yona this Friday. So if you are a Southern California young adult, come to Yona May 12th at 6:30 PM in Haven City Market at Rancho Cucamonga and get there. We have Brenly Brown and Cade Thompson coming to lead worship. I'm giving a word. It's going to be amazing. I'm super expectant. I've been praying in the spirit relentlessly for this night. Mike has been too, I can guarantee you. And we're just really excited. So if you want to come hang, you want to say hi to me, say hi to Mike, we will all be there having a fantastic night. Okay, that's everything. Let's jump into this podcast. Mikey, hit me with the first question.
All right, so here are questions coming straight from artificial intelligence, ChatGPT is the most popular one. So we literally just, what did we type in? We said, I need top questions that Christians are asking on the internet. Can you give me some questions, please? So are you ready? This is the first one.
I'm ready. You know what we should really be asking is like how long until like AI destroys us?
Not soon enough.
So dark.
All right. Question number one.
Okay.
What is the meaning of life according to Christianity?
That's a great question. I think I'd say that through Scripture. I think you can see, obviously through the Old Testament, but I think very clearly in the New Testament, you can see the life of Jesus, and you can see what his life was. The purpose of his life was obviously to model the Christian life, as well as to come and to be the sacrifice so that we could have a relationship with God. I would say that through the Christian lens and what I would believe to be truth, the meaning of life would be to know God and to manifest and reconcile God to others. And so what that means is to have a relationship with Jesus, to know your creator, know your purpose, know your intent for being designed and intricately woven in your mother's womb, to know who he is and how much he loves you, and then to be able to share that with every other person in your life and the people that you come across. Allow your life to be a lighthouse and manifest that love of God. And I think a lot of people would go, okay, well, that's great. That's maybe like a little bit cliche of an answer. But I would tell you, like, once you experience and you fully know Jesus, then you will fully know yourself. And once you fully know yourself, I think you could start to understand what you're made for, what you were born for, the purpose of your life, your calling. And you'll start to find the intricacies within life that you're possibly asking yourself, what am I here for? You know, what am I called to? What are my talents? What are my giftings? What should I be doing with my life? I think if you spend time knowing God and then allowing God to use you to show other people him, you're going to find out that how he does that through you is actually the thing you're most purposed for and actually designed for. Is that a good answer?
That was great.
Okay, sick.
All right, next one. How can I deepen my relationship with God?
Oof. I think I just filmed an episode with Janine Amapola that's coming out next week, but we kind of talked about this a little bit. I think like in order to really deepen a relationship with Jesus, it requires intimacy. And I think like when I was a younger, like less mature believer, the word intimacy with God made me super uncomfortable. Actually, like you're like, what does that really even mean? You know, you're kind of like, I thought like intimacy was made for like your significant other or something like that. But really like what intimacy means is it means like somebody fully knowing you and you fully knowing another person. And I think to deepen a relationship with God, you first have to be open and vulnerable to God and allow him into all the spaces and places and hurt and pain and crevices and awkward situations and addictions and struggles and depression. You got to give him all of those things so that he can fully begin to work in those. And then you also have to seek him. Scripture says that if you seek the kingdom of God, everything else will be added. And what does that really mean? It means to seek and know Jesus, to get in the word. Scripture also says, though, that the word became flesh. So you can't just be in the word. You got to know Jesus. The word actually became Jesus. And so I think you spend time in devotion, reading scripture, learning what it looks like to be a Christian, learning what the attributes and behaviors of Jesus were, and allowing those to be models for your life. But that alone is not enough. Like Mike would even say, and something that he's so good about communicating, like you can know and read the words in the Bible and just become a good moralist. Like you can just have good Christian morals, but actually never know God. And so you have to make sure that you're in the word, you're being transformed by the word, but you're also spending time in prayer, in worship, in devotion. The Bible says pray without ceasing. So all day long you have God on your mind, you're speaking to Jesus, you're asking him for things, you're telling him things you need, you're talking to him. I think the way you deepen a relationship with anybody would be increased communication. Like if you had a girlfriend or a boyfriend or you had a friend that you were interested in getting to know better, that doesn't happen if you never see them or never talk to them. It only happens if you increase the amount of time which you spend with somebody. So if you want to get to know God deeper, it's not going to happen on accident, and it's not going to happen truthfully by more sermons or even more podcasts. It's going to be by you getting in your room, you being getting at your dinner table, wherever, and spending time in the word and in prayer and in worship and getting to know God, spending time with him. Is that good too?
Solid.
Let's go. Yeah, I mean, two for two. He's gonna throw like a crazy one at me here soon, right? And I might not know how to answer.
This is all coming from AI. It's not coming from me. ChatGPT wants to know the Lord.
We're going to get ChatGPT saved today.
He's like, wow, Kaden, you really answered all these questions.
He's like, bro, we just get like a bubble like pops up from ChatGPT and he goes, how do I give my life to the Lord? Right. Like he's asking us questions.
Right. All right. So question number three is, what is the role of faith in Christianity?
Yeah, I think that is like a hard question. I think a lot of people are like, why can't I just be like logical? You know, I think there's like that battle between like faith and logic.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, what do you mean? Why do I have to have faith? Why can't God just show me? Why can't God just do it? If I believe in him, why can't he just like immediately do it? And Mike and I were talking about this a little bit this morning at coffee, and I think it's similar. Like, I think there's an aspect of faith, which faith is believing what you can't see. There's this aspect of faith that is like a testing. And there's a story in scripture, I think it's Matthew 14. Mike, can you look it up and make sure I'm correct with that? But I think it's Matthew 14. It's a Gentile woman comes to Jesus to have her daughter healed. And she comes to Jesus and she goes, hey, God, Jesus, can you heal my daughter? And he ignores her. And so she asks him again. And his disciples step in and go, basically like, hey, you need to like get out of here. And Jesus asks her, he goes, what do you need? And she's like, can you heal my daughter? And Jesus's response is really interesting. He goes, well, actually, I came to save my chosen people, not for the dogs. Which, if you know anything about like Jewish and Gentile relations back in the day, Jewish people hated Gentiles. They called them dogs. It's terrible. And but Jesus's response is not because he actually believes this Gentile woman is a dog. He's testing her faith and her posture. So then the woman answers, she replies to him, and she basically goes like, hey, even dogs are capable enough to eat the scraps off of the feet, off the underneath the table of their masters. And then Jesus goes, good answer. That's exactly what I wanted to hear from you. I'll heal your daughter. And I think what I love about that story and why I'm kind of attributing it to this question of like faith is because I think often God tests us to see where our faith is, to see where our heart is. And I think if we are often easy to give up or to quit, or when things get hard, or we can't fully wrap our minds around what God's doing, I think we miss the fullness of who God is, because we kind of cheapen ourselves and we cheapen what he wants to do in us and through us and how he wants to heal us and reach other people through our lives. So I would say the purpose of faith often in Christianity is a foundational element in heart posture, in relationship building, and in, I would even argue, intimacy. You think?
Yeah, I think the way I kind of put it is faith is the catalyst in which it allows us and God to be intimate with each other.
So good. Why didn't you just answer that one? I just spent like 10 minutes babbling. That was fire.
And Matthew 14 is, I Googled it and it was like, John the Baptist beheaded. And I was like, that's not it.
Classic me. Where is it?
It's Matthew 15. You're a 15, one chapter. Yeah,
one chapter
15,
off.
21, 18.
Dude, I'm that guy. I'm always like, it's like you could argue, it's like, okay, well, at least Kaden like knows his words, sort of.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're I'm close
the,
enough.
I'm in the ballpark.
You're a lot closer than a lot of Christians.
Yeah, yeah,
it's true. It's in the Bible. It's somewhere.
It's true. If I was preaching and I like was preaching a random thought and I flipped to Matthew 14, I would look over at 15 and go, oh, my bad. It's right here.
Right.
So I'm in the ballpark. I'm close enough. We were talking about this today with Janine. I don't know if you could hear from outside the door, but we were talking about how like Christians get weird about like Googling Bible verses.
Oh, really?
Like it's like not, that's not, it's not unholy to like Google a Bible verse. Like, oh, I'm anxious today. Bible verses on anxiety. Like just Google it.
ChatGPT. ChatGPT. I'm anxious right now. Can you give me the top 10 Bible verses for anxiety,
dude? And it would.
Yeah, Pastor ChatGPT.
ChatGPT's theology is kind of good,
right?
It's kind of good. I'm just gonna say that.
Kaden may or may not be using ChatGPT for his sermon for Yana this Friday.
100%. 100%. Honestly, I just took a video. I'll post it, but. Courtney and Mike were just showing me how to use ChatGPT and my mind was being blown. And I look at Mike and I go, will this like write a sermon? And he's like, yeah. I was like, I'm in there. Right? Who needs revelation when you have ChatGPT? Like, don't say that.
All right. Are you ready for next question?
Yeah. What is this? Number four?
Yep.
How much time are we at?
We're at 15 minutes right now.
Oh, how long? Yeah, we can like rapid fire a bunch of these.
How do Christians reconcile the existence of evil and suffering with a loving God? It's a popular one.
That is a very popular question. You know, I think that's honestly a hard question because often people are like, hey, if God was good, how could he allow evil? And I think similar, people would go, if God is so good, how could he send people to hell? Would be like a similar question-ish.
Yeah.
And I think something that you have to like understand and realize is, first of all, scripture is very clear about about suffering. And actually, in many cases, Paul even says, consider it joy to suffer because we then look more like Christ. So when you understand, like, you have, like, that kind of idea of, like, a suffering theology, you can kind of, like, reconcile that a little bit more. But I would say this. I'd say God is good regardless of what you see circumstantially in the world. Like, who God is and what he does is not dictated and driven by circumstance and situations on planet Earth. God is good, period. Which means he's always, when things happen on the Earth, that's typically not what he wants. Like, this guy is going, I desire good things for my children. But there's this thing in scripture called free will. And if you're a Calvinist, you don't agree with me. But there's this thing in scripture called free will. And God gives Adam and Eve from the beginning free will. And what free will does is free will produces something called a consequence. And consequence in this can be good or bad. Like, if you do something to somebody, there will be a consequence, whether that consequence is good or bad. If I give Mike flowers, Mike will smile. That's the consequence of the flowers. If I step on Mike's flowers, Mike will frown. That's the consequence of my actions. And a lot of the times what we see happening on Earth, these bad, evil, suffering, they're consequences out of actions that happen because of free will. Now, here's the good news. God sent Jesus to be the answer for all of these things. God sent Jesus to the world to allow them to allow us to know Jesus, to have everlasting life one day, so that this is just not our state that we have to stay in. We get to be heavenly minded. We get to be renewed internally. Yes, there's still sin in the world, but we don't have to be, we're of the world. We don't have to be in it. I would say this way. I've heard this analogy. If people were on a train, on train tracks, headed to a destination, and they stopped at a train station, and somebody ran up to everybody in the train and said, hey, you guys don't want to keep going. The train tracks have collapsed. And if you continue going in the direction you're moving, you're going to fall down into these collapsed tracks. This train's going to explode and everybody on this train is going to die. If nobody listened to the guy at the train station and they all just...
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Got back on the train and kept going, and inevitably their train takes off at the end of the tracks, falls, explodes, everybody dies. Nobody blames the guy at the train station. They don't go, the guy at the train station that warned everybody sent everybody to the fire to die. They go, there was someone there trying to save them. And that's a picture of Jesus. The reason that he died was because Jesus isn't sending people to hell. He's trying to snatch them out of it. That's why he is the solution. That's why he is the answer. And so when we ask these questions about evil and suffering, I think it's a very, truthfully, this might be harsh, I think it's a small-minded question. Because I think what you're thinking about, truthfully, is only situations and circumstances, and you're making those situations and circumstances mirror God. Like if you heard somebody playing Beethoven and they were sucking at it and they made it sound terrible, you would not go, oh my gosh, Beethoven sucks. You'd go, that person who's representing Beethoven did it poorly. That's the same with how people represent Christ, but also how situations and circumstances often make you think, oh my gosh, this circumstance sucks. Well, God must suck. That's not the case. That's not good logic. That's my answer.
That's good.
Thanks.
This is a good follow-up question, actually, because you kind of touched on this, so it was a good segue.
Yeah.
Next question is, what is the significance of Jesus' death and resurrection?
The significance of Jesus' death and resurrection is, to put simply, is that Jesus died for man to be able to be forgiven for their sins and to be reconciled to God so that we could have right relationship and right standing with God to be back with the original intent and design that God created humanity to be. Simple.
Yeah.
I don't think it needs, let's not make this thing complicated.
Yeah.
Jesus died. He took on the sins of the world and died so that you didn't have to, so that you can know Jesus, so you can know God, so that you didn't have to be addicted, you didn't have to be depressed, you didn't have to be caught in sin. So you didn't have to be any of these things. You could be intimate with Jesus and be basically living in the right standing of how you were meant to live.
Yeah. The gospel's simple.
Yeah. And me and Mike are simple gospel guys, man. You want to make it complicated? Go to a different podcast.
Next question is, what does the Bible say about forgiveness?
Oh, this is a good question. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess to your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be forgiven. Now, if we're talking about like forgiveness in terms of our standing with God, there it is. Jesus died so you could be forgiven for your sins, for your transgressions, for A, B, C, D, E, F, G. If we're talking about forgiveness towards other people, Scripture is really clear about forgiving others as Christ forgave us. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and loving to each other, forgive each other, just as God forgave you in Christ. Scripture is clear, like if you're someone does you wrong, turn the other cheek. Be quick to forgive as Jesus did. And when it comes to many of these questions, it's like, what did Jesus, not the WWJD, but really like, look at the model in the life of Jesus and what he did for humanity, as well as what he did with his disciples and the people that he encountered while he was here on earth. And you'll get a good model for how to answer a lot of these questions. Mike, you can shout me down, you know?
No, that was it.
You can give me an amen.
Amen.
I honestly love having you here. This is nice.
Is it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not charismatic enough.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little Pentecostal. You're just over there speaking in tongues in the mic. Right. Like having to mute you.
Next question?
Yeah.
All right. How should Christians approach evangelism and sharing their faith? Picket signs.
Yeah, I think turn and burn. Turn or burn.
Just signs on the, you know, the bridges on the highway.
Yes, bro. Say,
Jesus or hell. It's like, dang, you got me.
Yeah. I always think that. I always go, who read that sign and goes, ah, you're right.
Yeah. I'm literally on a highway to hell right now.
Yeah, exactly.
That sign just.
They're like smoking a cigarette on the way to like the bar. Like, weird.
I need to hit up the church chat guys and tell them to do a mock skit about a guy giving his testimony.
Oh my gosh.
That he saw a sign on the highway said truth or hell. And yes, that's how he came to Christ.
You know what's so funny? I had never heard anybody getting saved by something like that before. Yeah. Until when I was in school, I had a professor. That's how he got saved. Somebody, he was like walking. He was literally a gangbanger. He was walking and somebody handed him a card that literally just said, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to go to hell. And that scared him enough to like figure out who Jesus was.
Hey.
So, I mean, I guess, hey.
Yeah.
I guess they do work.
Maybe for gang members. It works.
Yeah.
Good tactical evangelism tool for gang members.
Maybe, yeah, he's going, get shot or go to hell.
Right. It's like, dang, if I get shot up at this next gang event.
Yeah, for real. He's like, man, life is fickle here around these streets. No, evangelism, what was the question again? What's the tactic?
How should Christians approach evangelism and sharing their faith?
I think you should approach it without fear. I think we approach it a lot of the times, we overthink things and we don't do it because we're afraid. We're afraid of rejection, afraid of looking stupid. We're honestly afraid that like we're going to go up to somebody and they're going to like laugh at us or something. That's never happened to me. I've never walked up to somebody and like shared the gospel with them, like a random stranger, and they laugh. They're usually shocked, or they break down, or they can feel that they have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Like you, very rare do you like walk up to someone and go, hey, I feel like I'm supposed to share the gospel, tell you about Jesus. And they like flip you off and like, dude, F off. I'll tell you a story. The other day I was at Stagecoach, shout out country music. I was walking back from the porta potties and I was walking past a security guard who was watching the porta potties, and the Lord goes, hey, tell this guy about me. And I was like, nah. And I like kept walking. And the reason I said no was because there was a bunch of people around. It was stinky. It was porta potties. Like I was just like, I was meeting up with some friends. It was just inconvenient. And I just kept walking. And the Holy Spirit just like so like nicely convicted me and was basically like, how am I supposed to trust you with like anything else I'm doing in your life if you can't even walk up to this random guy? You have there's no consequence, like, and tell him Jesus loves you. And I was like, gosh, you're so right. So I walked all the way back, dude. I walked all the way back to the porta potty guy. It was stinky. And I started telling this dude about Jesus. And I tell you that because I've been there. Like I've been in the spot where I'm going, it's inconvenient. I'm a little afraid. There's a bunch of people in this coffee shop. There's a bunch of people here. What if he thinks I'm weird? What if they say no? And I honestly like started to realize like you lose nothing by sharing the gospel with somebody, even if they reject you. If they reject you, you still get to go home to your family. If they reject you, you still get to get on Instagram after. If they reject you, you still can go buy ice cream. Like you can still get in your car. You go to work. You live your life. If you go tell someone about Jesus and they laugh at you, which this is least case scenario, but they laugh at you and they tell you to go away, your life does not change. You need to carry the perspective that when somebody rejects you telling them about Jesus, they just missed out on the best opportunity in their entire life. If you truly start to value salvation and value knowing Jesus, there's nothing you could offer somebody that's better than that. I was at Stagecoach again. I was watching Chris Stapleton, probably one of my favorite secular country music artists, like favorite. And I was, shout out God, I was in the pit. Like, Caden, this doesn't need to like flex. I was like in the pit and I turned around and there was hundreds of thousands of people. Like as far as the eye could see, literally you could not see anything else except people. It was the craziest thing I've ever turned around and looked at. And I thought to myself, there's hundreds of thousands of people here, and to see Chris Stapleton, and they gave him and he gave them nothing of value tonight. They got to have a little fun. They got to listen to some good music. There was no value added to the hundreds of thousands of people that were there that day. You have to start carrying the perspective that what you have to offer, which is Jesus, is the most valuable thing anybody could ever accept and ever experience. You carry that revelation and you stop being afraid. Go change the world. Next question, mic drop.
Solid. This one, this is going to be a tester for you on your theology.
We'll see if this one makes the podcast.
Okay, so this one is, how do Christians interpret and understand the book of Revelation?
Yeah, I'm going to be fully honest. I'm not like a Revelation like theologian. I think I would even say that I'm still developing my eschatology, which for people listening, that's like end times theology. But I know Mike actually probably knows a lot about this because he's just so dark. Just kidding.
Yeah.
No, but just from what I understand is that the best way to interpret Revelation is there's a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? There's a lot of like
symbolism.
Symbolism, yeah, the exact word. I was gonna say allegory, but that wouldn't be correct. There's a lot of symbolism involved in these visions that John is seeing in Revelation. And so I think the best way to interpret is often with like a trusted like commentary or source you can read it with, because there's some things that John talks about that like we probably actually won't see, but we'll see the symbol of that. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of symbolism. It's definitely one of the books that you can't take out of context. You have to understand the historical context of why John is writing it, who he was writing it to. You also have to know your Bible and other scripture, because it's like, let the Bible interpret the Bible.
So
I know that there's a lot of references to Genesis, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, you don't know certain parts of the Bible, you're going to read Revelation and kind of come to your own conclusion. So, and the thing is, it's like Revelation for some reason is the one book that people avoid and are more apprehensive to interpret and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I think that should be the same for every other book. Like you should be looking at the book in that same reverence, in the sense where I don't want to take the book of Mark out of context, right? But where we're kind of, we look at the book of Revelation, we're like, oh, I don't want to take this out of context, I'm just not going to read it. But we don't really apply that to other parts of the Bible.
True. It's huge. No, I like that. That's massive. I think, again, it's like, I would say don't go interpret Revelation out of fear. Because if you believe in Jesus and you're saved, like, we win. Yeah. Best case scenario, whatever happens in the end times, depending on your eschatology, we win. We go to heaven. We spend eternity with Jesus. So I would say don't allow, I think for a lot of people, and even I think for myself before I went to seminary and like we dabbled in it a little bit, for me was like, there's like a fear element around Revelation. We've like mysticized Revelation, and I would say like demystify it. It's none of the stuff he's talking about. There's a lot of symbolism. None of it is weirder than somebody being born of a virgin and coming back from the dead.
Yeah.
You know, like,
if you can believe that, if you can believe Moses can part the Red Sea,
come on. Yeah.
God could show up in a burning bush.
Absolutely.
You shouldn't be amazed.
You believe that like Jonah can live in the belly of a whale. If you believe that like Samson is so strong, he can collapse a jail on him. Like if you believe like all these crazy things, and at the bottom or like the bottom or the top of that list, you believe Jesus was born of a virgin, was fully human, fully God, was crucified, rose again, and then as he left us the Holy Spirit who now dwells inside of us. If you believe all that, why is Revelation scaring you?
Yep. A little tidbit, Revelation, I believe, is the only book in the Bible that offers a guaranteed blessing to those who read it.
Wow. I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, it says it in the beginning.
Wow. I actually really like Revelation. I like the letters to the seven churches. I think they're actually fire. Because there's like Jesus talking to the churches. Like one of them, I don't remember where it is in Revelation. Obviously, it's me. But there's something about Jesus saying, like, I will be knocking on the door, and I will come in and dine with whoever opens it. Mm. I love that verse.
Yeah. All right. Next question.
Yeah. What time are we at?
33.
Yeah. Let's keep it rolling.
All right. So next question is salvation based on faith alone, or do good works play a role?
That's a great question. That's a question that like denominations will argue about like all the time. And I think there's a scripture. Is it in Luke? Faith without works is dead. I say this is the side I err on. I say you cannot earn your salvation. It's a free gift. It is given to you. Jesus died so that you could receive salvation, so that you could go to heaven, so that you could have an intimate relationship with him. Now, however, I believe that works show evidence of salvation. I would say that works are fruit of your salvation. If you are saved and you are living a spirit-led life, you're being renewed by the Holy Spirit, you're allowing him to lead your life and manifest through you, there will be fruit in your life that will often look like works. You will be serving people. You will be telling people about Jesus. You will be living a life that looks like his. The works come out of your salvation. They are not, you're not working for your salvation. Does that make sense? So the works are a byproduct of salvation. They're not your buy-in of salvation. Ooh, that was good. That was a word. That was fire. That was an accident. So I would say for people that get stuck in religious mindsets of like, I have to work to show that I'm saved, or I have to work to get saved, or I have to prove my worth and value to God, I have to perform for his love. That's not gospel at all. Gospel is that Jesus came and gave you a free gift of salvation, and through that salvation, through having the Holy Spirit dwell inside of you, work comes out as fruit of that. I think that's the last question.
Yeah.
I think it's good?
Yeah.
Hey, thank you guys so much for listening. If you liked this episode and you liked, first of all, say thank you to Mike. It was so awesome having him on here.
Yo.
Love you, bro. If you liked having Mike on here, maybe leave some comments and we could convince him to come back and do this more, because it was nice having him here. Also, if you liked this idea, this chat GPT type questions, maybe we'll throw it in the mix a lot more and kind of do a lot more things, because I guess now that I know about this, it's kind of endless.
Yeah.
It really is. So if you liked it, leave a comment, let us know, or DM me or whatever, and we'll do another episode from ChatGPT. I love y'all. Thanks so much. I hope this podcast encouraged you. Be sure to share it with a friend, share it with a family member. We honestly answered a lot of questions today that are hanging up a lot of people from knowing Jesus. There's a lot of barriers around these questions. Hopefully today they became bridges. Love you guys. Catch you in the next one.
If you're tired of parenting advice and news headlines that are more confusing than assembling IKEA furniture, we've got just the podcast for you. My dear friend Abby and I are here to help you navigate the parenting roller coaster.
Should your kids be on social media? What should you tell a friend facing an unplanned pregnancy? These are just some of the many questions we tackle on our podcast.
Subscribe to The Real Deal of Parenting wherever you find your podcast.
The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art, inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.